Blog Talk Radio.
It's static in the line. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to get to a better location. Play the song a little longer, please. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and it's Monday evening, and I'm so glad to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time, and we are doing our level best to make wherever you are, if you are a believer in Almighty God, a saint of the true and living God, wherever you are, we're trying to make that wherever we are the house of the living in God right now, because we believe that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. This is the Jeremiah Speak broadcast. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. We are glad to come before you, and we offer our contact information. That is email. Email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our telephone information, our contact for all of the services of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast is 804-313-7853, 804-313-7853. Call or text as you desire. We're going to get right into our broadcast on this evening. We're mighty excited about something. On Monday evenings, we try to do the missionary projects, missionary trips, and or testimonies. So this is actually Missionary Monday today, and we're going to jump right into a mission project that I am just delighted to be a part of and excited to have been invited to be a part of, and that is the Operation Inasmuch. Operation Inasmuch is something that I'm new to. It's something that I've just recently been introduced to, and I participated last year, 2021, for my very first time, and I just was filled with it. And so much that I stumbled. Participated again this past Saturday, 17th, the third Saturday in September. We do it here the third Saturday in September every year. What it amounts to is once a year, God's people across this community come together on the third Saturday in September. That date differs depending upon what community you are worldwide. This, like the fivefold ministry and like Jeremiah Speaks, this is a worldwide project. Not necessarily on the same day, but with the same devotion, folk all across the land are coming together to help one another. And I'm just going to highlight some of the things that I've been exposed to with Operation Inasmuch. It's interesting that Matthew 25, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Days last year for me was September 18th, and that was Inasmuch Saturday. I did not realize how much work had gone into this day before I volunteered my time. I am a painting contractor, and I climb. I love to go up heights and ladders and scaffolds and so forth. And so I offered my services because I figured there were not a lot of volunteers that just love to climb. So they put me on a roof. They gave me two capable assistants to work on the roof with me, and we knocked the job out. They went inside and hung a door, replaced the ceiling. I got the roof started. We all three of us came together working on the roof project, and a crew came. At about 11:45, a crew came with sandwiches and drinks for us, and that was good. That doesn't happen in my everyday life. And then about an hour later, photography crew came. And then another crew came to sign off on what we were doing with the project. And then I had to call and talk to another crew to close the project out at the end of the day. I went to sleep on top of the world. And I think the guys that worked with me were the same. This is a wonderful local chapter. Ours is the Northern Neck chapter because that's the area we live in, the Northern Neck of Virginia. It's a wonderful chapter and a wonderful organization. It's an international organization. So Operation Inasmuch is a worldwide ministry that comes alongside churches and pastors to equip and motivate them to obey the biblical mandate to minister to the least of these. This ministry is based upon Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. I love Matthew 25. The whole chapter, I just love it. And we know that's part of the Olivet Discourse. And Jesus talked about things to come. And I just love this. The story goes that Jesus talks about at the end, or the one day, separating the sheep from the goats. Many of us know the story that we have the sheep on my right hand and the goats on my left. And we know how that kind of works out. But then he goes into this dialogue of a king who happens to be Jesus. But the king in the story goes to this dialogue with some servants. And he says to the servants, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you came unto me. And the servant said, when did we see you hungry, fed you, thirsty, gave you something to drink, stranger, and took you in, naked, and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? The king said, when you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, then you've done it unto me. We translate this and understand that Jesus is talking about the king being King Jesus, and that Jesus watching our efforts here on earth. We know we are saved by faith through grace. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We're saved through our faith by the grace of Jesus Christ, not by our works, lest any man should boast. But then when we read the 10th verse, Ephesians 2:10 says, 2:8-9 says we were saved by grace, by faith through grace. And 10 says to do good works. We're not saved because of our works. We're saved to do good works. So then the saved people ought to look around and inventory our community, not just our community of saved, but our community of people created, designed by Almighty God. Our neighbors, we're supposed to look at our neighbors and take inventory and see if anybody needs anything. The book of Acts, history of the early church, tells us that they had all things in common and nobody lacked anything.
that they made sure that they shared their goods with one. That's difficult to do among 6 or 7 billion people on this earth. But we ought to make some effort to do that. So Operation Inasmuch has done that, is that we realize there are some people that don't have, and some people that lack, and some people that are suffering. And so Inasmuch began 27 years ago. In 1995, the Snyder Memorial United Methodist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, performed the first Operation Inasmuch. The church, it appears, was seeking something other than traditional revival week to motivate the people to serve. The pastor, David Crocker, suggested the name Operation Inasmuch. Since Fayetteville is a military town, the term operation, you know, that just fit right in, because everything on those bases was operation this and operation that. And so operation made it sound like a military campaign with which the townspeople were very familiar. He likewise recommended the name Inasmuch because he saw it as a Bible reference which described Christian service. And so they were looking to see, how can we better serve on the outside? Every year we have a revival on the inside of the church, and we attract and try to reach people from all across town and all walks of life. But how can we this year go out with what we've learned over the years inside the church? And so they came up with Operation Inasmuch for Christian Service. After 2 months of careful planning and aligning volunteers with the work, the first Operation Inasmuch Day was March 25th, 1995, and it was a resounding success. So how does a local church engage its community? Today, there are over 2,000 churches across the land participate in Operation Inasmuch. It's an interdenominational, meaning it doesn't matter if you're Lutheran, if you're Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we come together under the leadership of a head of our church, King Jesus, and we come together to do what they did in the first century. And that's to make sure that those who may not have as much as some of us realize that they have as much spirit and the same spirit and the same God and the same resources because we have them. I all the time say, if you want to receive a blessing, just bless somebody else. Because every time I see somebody else get blessed, I get blessed. Let the church say amen. It's not only interdenominational, it's also interracial. What better time to have an interdenominational project than right now? After some of the turmoil that we went through in 2020, right in the midst of a horrible pandemic, we would have to face religious strife rearing its ugly head, much of which is not gone anywhere. Race will always be a problem and issue in communities. Some communities are free of this, most are not. So an interracial objective where everyone can agree on it's awesome. It involves all ages. Everybody that's big enough to walk can do something in Operation Inasmuch, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. Most chapters have something for everyone. It is community engagement. In the last few years, last year, I met some people that I hadn't seen for 40 years. They were telling me about my grandmother and about my great-grandmother and how they knew people at my church. And I didn't know who I was talking to, but by the end of the day, we were best friends. We had prayed together. We had eaten together. We had worked together. We had laughed and joked and played together. I had made new friends. Or at best, I had, reconciled with old friends. It's community engagement. When you go in the store to buy something for Operation Inasmuch, the clerks tend to smile more. Everybody gets a good feeling. And then there's always someone at the counter that says, I don't understand what is Operation Inasmuch. Now I have an opportunity to tell them that this is not a preaching service. This is not a singing service. This is not your typical church service. This is not even in the church. This is the church coming out of the church to serve the whole community. The church is not asking you when you fill out your application for in as much what church you go to. They're not asking you if you know Jesus Christ or not. They're asking you, do you need somebody to help fix your front porch? Well, I wish I had a witness today that says sometime priorities and first things first. If a man is starving, it might not be the best time to ask him if he's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. How about we get the man something to eat? Community engagement is big. All day service provides multiple opportunities to share the gospel, whether it's people up on the roof talking about and making acquaintance and new friendships, or people down on the ground painting, fixing the garden, the flower garden, weed eating the weeds around the place, doing what would appear to be menial tasks, but spreading the gospel all along, a year of planning for one great day of service. All of this happens in a community, the inasmuch community. It all happens in one day. Now, I live right on the line where there are two Operation Inasmuch teams. The one has a day in the spring, and the other has a day in the fall. And the areas, they kind of butt up against each other. So I get to see different approaches. I am fascinated with each, and both are usually run by a central group of churches or church representatives. The volunteers sign up on a form, which has many options, and the form kind of says it all. The forms kind of bring us into unison with the worldwide, with the international, all the way back to the North Carolina church. But when you get a form, you can pull it down online. You get a form for Operation Inasmuch, and then you go to the local chapter. I'm going to read some of the things that they ask. And I was so fascinated by this. If you're doing a volunteer, they ask you, please indicate. Well, let me go back. There are some things written on the form. It says, on September 17th, we need you. Inasmuch United Northern NEC will celebrate our 13th year of fellowship, outreach, and commitment as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Together we can make miracles. Notice they didn't say anything about hammer and nails or any of that. They say there are three things. We're celebrating 13 years of fellowship coming together. Fellowship, outreach, and commitment as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Many have heard, I actually made a mistake a couple weeks ago, is that I preached a sermon called Occupy Until I Come. And about 3 days later, I preached the same sermon again. But it was worthwhile because that's Jesus' instruction to us, is to occupy until I come. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I need you to be me, do what I was doing until I return. And so Operation Inasmuch capitalizes on this. And they offer many options as you serve. It says Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. And that's St. Teresa of Avila. So, reading from the form. So there's a form for volunteers, and it's a volunteer sign-up. And there, you know, the basic information, the demographic information, and, well, not even demographic, your name, email, mailing address. It says, please indicate your skills or certifications. We're looking for carpenters, plumbers, electricians, sewing and crafting, roofing, painting, and other. It says volunteers are the spirit and the dedication of Operation Inasmuch. Every volunteer is essential to the success of our efforts. Alone we accomplish little or nothing, but together we can do just about anything. That's the mission of Operation Inasmuch. Now on the checklist it says, please indicate which area you wish to be a part of by identifying your choices by writing 1, 2, or 3 in the blank. Here are the options. Home repair projects, yard cleanup and landscaping, lunch prep, food delivery to the project sites, firewood prep, cutting or splitting firewood, delivering firewood, gleaning. I don't know how many listeners know what gleaning is. this phrase has become popular across the rural areas, and it's a throwback to the time of Ruth in the Bible. We find that Naomi and Ruth, when they journeyed back home to Bethlehem, that we find that they were gleaning in the fields, that Jewish farmers were taught to leave a portion of the field with the corn unpicked or with the wheat unharvested, and the poor people would actually come and what we call gleaning. They would gather from each field with food supplies to get by, so there was enough for everyone. So we do gleaning now is that there are farmers, several of them, across the Northern Neck at various times during the year. They support gleaning operations for our food bank and other resources, and we have Boy Scout groups that go out and glean. We have school groups. We have the, there's a group that does community service hours in high school. They go out and do gleaning. It's a wonderful community service project experience. It humbles us. If you don't dress right, the corn will make you itch. They also pick watermelons and cantaloupes, and farmers leave all kinds of things. This is good food. It's just left out there by the farmer so that someone can come along, harvest it, and distribute it to folk who are in need. So we have a gleaning team, and this year, as I understand, the farmer missed it by a week. Everything is just about ripe, but it didn't make any sense to glean it on Saturday, so they're putting together a crew to go back this coming Saturday and glean the fields and then set up to deliver them to people who have requested food. There's a free yard sale. I've never seen anything like it. It's misnamed when it says a yard sale. It's a reverse yard sale. People from all over the community bring items that they don't need. We ask and we prefer that you bring really nice items. Sometimes they have tags on them. Sometimes they were just in the way, and this person didn't need them anymore. Some are in great condition. Some are in average or fair condition. But they bring these items. They donate them, leave them there. And anybody can come and get items. And you select the item, pack it up, and take it away. Pay nothing for it. We don't ask. We don't ask what your means are. We don't ask what your economic status is. If you see something you like, take it. If you have something to bring, bring it. And that has been really successful. It's huge. So we need people that work with the setup. And the people worked all week with the setup. Came there early one morning. Someone in my church was actually working with the setup. And they got there, and there was stuff everywhere. People had dropped off so much stuff during the night and during the time that they had been closed because people wanted them to have it. And then there's a cleanup from the yard sale. There's all these items that are still left at the end of the day on Saturday. There's a telephone support team. I got several calls reminding me to put in my lunch order, reminding me about my T-shirt order, reminding me about that I had agreed to be on a certain project at a certain time, reminding me that we had group prayer at 7 o'clock in the morning, that we would have breakfast together, pray together, and then leave and go to the various projects. There were those that called and asked me, did I need any more materials? Did I need anybody to pick up anything for me? They called to say, see if I had actually gotten my lunch. They called to see, I had to call in to see if, and close out the project. And then there's fundraising. There's some people who can't be on site on that one day, but they can do things in the interim to help. There's something for everybody. There are bake sales and promotions. And then I did not know this until this year, there are visitations. So the local Northern Neck group has seen we have some convalescent homes, nursing facilities, and rehab facilities. And so they set up to go. They have people that knit, crochet, make novelty items during the course of the year for the purpose of sending them to the rehab or nursing homes or convalescent centers. And then there are volunteers who come and pick up these items and take them to the residents of the centers. Also, those that would go to various homes and take things to homebound folks, some of whom are receiving other help with perhaps an access ramp or restoration of a porch or painting something on the house or trimming a tree. But they may also receive something because they're homebound from this particular group. Everybody is a member of the prayer team, and everybody's called upon to pray for God's direction, blessing, and safety for the successful completion of our mission. I've only been on the mission. I've been supporting, praying for a few years. I had a conflict until last year, but I've only been out there on the projects for the last 2 years. I noticed that in September, when it's usually rainy, the last 2 years, it's been great. It has been fantastic weather to work outside and so forth. I find Operation Inasmuch to be one of the best things I've run across in the northern neck of Virginia. If it's as good in other places as it is here, if the smiles are like they are here, if it's like what I saw on last Saturday and also on last year, and every year I make new friends, it is a wonderful idea. I do thank the folk from the church down in Fayetteville for what they've come up with, and I thank those who bought into the idea and are participating heartily in it. Operation Inasmuch is as good as it is. It makes me and reminds me of something that God gave me. God gave me this through Dr. Charles Payton. Dr. Charles Payton said, "Reed, have you heard about the password?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Yeah, well, let me tell you about the password." There was a young man. And the young man was going along with his attaché case. He's on his way to work. It was an old man, very old man, sitting on a step as he went down the sidewalk. And the old man said, "Young man, come here. So, boy, let me tell you something." He said, "Boy, do you know about the password?" And he said, "No, man, I don't know what the password. What are you talking about?" And the old man said, "Well, I'm going to give you the password because you look like you're about something and like you got something going on. So I'm going to give you the password. Password is 2535. And the young man said, "Well, 2535. And the old man said, that's the password right there, 2535. So the young man immediately went and changed all of the passwords in his laptop, his iPad, telephone. He changed the passwords to email and various things and several accounts. He even went down to the 7-Eleven and played the number straight in different ways. He played 2535. One day he was coming back through and he said to the old man, hey, old man, I've been waiting to see you. I want to tell you something. That old password didn't work." The old man said, "Password didn't work?" He said, "No." He said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." He said, "Tell me what I told you." He said, that 2535. He said, "Nothing happened. I didn't hit a number. Nothing special happened." The man said, oh, Matthew 2535. He said, "What was that?" He said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was sick, you visited me." And he said, "When did we come to you when you were hungry or thirsty or naked or stranger, prison or sick?" He said, "When you've done it to one of these, at least to my brethren, you've done it unto me." This is the password that if we want to be right with God, if we want to be right with Jesus, we got to know how to act like 2535. Operation Inasmuch is 2531. Excuse me, 2535. The password it is, 2535. I am so excited about Operation Inasmuch on this evening. I'm so glad to present that. I hope someone in our local area will sign on for next year. I hope someone in a broader area, even international, will look this up, Google it, and find out how they can sign on. Jeremiah Speaks is glad to bring to you tonight Operation Inasmuch. Our contact information, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, 804-313-7853. May the Lord bless you and keep you, heaven smile upon you. Operation Inasmuch.
Another day, journey. God kept me here. I don't know how you feel about me tonight, but I thank God that I'm still here.
God bless you and welcome to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We thank you so much for tuning in to us. Each week we'll be on this radio dial, Monday through Fridays. We come to encourage you, to inspire you, and to motivate you. And you can hear us again on Sunday mornings. Let us get right into our broadcast today. We want to play a special tune from William Murphy, Empty Me. God bless you.
Like my granddaddy one day. I want the best wine. I'm going to sing this song. It goes like this. Listen. Holy fire, burn away. My desire for that thing that is not.
Songwriter says, empty me. We thank God that you have listened to us, that each week we come in to exhort, edify, and encourage the body of Christ. And we want you to sit back and relax. We know that through the week you have a busy week. You're dealing so much with work and your kids and family, and you have other responsibility and bills. So when you come home, we just want you to sit back and abase yourselves as we go into the inner court to worship God. If you would like to reach us, our contact information is ffmw@verizon.net. Again, that's F like five, F like full, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc@verizon.net. This is also our disclaimer. As I say each week, we like to play the songs of various artists. We like to be inspired and motivated by the hymns that they have been given to by God. We believe that the Lord is using them in such a way to encourage us. So this is our disclaimer. The artists own the right to their music. However, we come to promote it. It's for promotional reasons and for their sales. So God bless you again as we sit back and listen to That God Is an Awesome God by Canton Jones. God bless you.
Savior of the all.
Yes, our God is awesome. Isn't that a fact to know that through his death, burial, and resurrection that we have eternal life? Truly, that is so awesome to know that our God can do anything but fail. You know our God is able, and he loves you, and you are his beloved. We want to sit back as we get ready for our next election. We want to take out our Bibles at this time. We're going to make reference to Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 and 26. Again, it's Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. And the subject title will be Going Through the Fire. Again, that's Going Through the Fire. Can you imagine the fires that has been in your life, been in my life, so many times that we have been going through things that maybe have tested us, have taxed us to the point that it might have been stressful or overwhelming, but we know that our God is able and he can do anything but fail. So we're going to look at the three Hebrew men, as some people call them, the three Hebrew boys, how they had to go through that fire. But let us at this time listen to Dietrich Hatton, that he's able. Amen. Text with the three Hebrew boys or the three Hebrew men, we see here as a background that these particular gentlemen were thrown into a hot fire by the king of Babylon for refusing to honor and to bow down to an image or to a king or to a man. You know, so many times in life that you may run into situations that people think that because of their status quo or their titles or even the position that they in of authority, even wealth, that they have the ability to rule, to control, and to manipulate others. Well, this is a story, too, of the same type of situation that these three boys was in or three men were in, that they had to be confronted by someone who decided who they could worship, who would be their God, and that this was mandated all through the land. But, you know, there are times in the story that you will find those who will stand up for God. They will say, for God I live and for God I die. So many times people have suffered at the mercy, at the hands, and even those who did not have mercy to them because of their prominent situation. You know, it's very, very sad. Related to a story about in the United States, there was a gentleman named John Foreman. Again, his name was Foreman, and that he was forced as he went into George Foreman. I'm sorry, as he was forced to go into a store to come out and to lay on the ground because he was told that he was under suspicion. Isn't it ironic sometime, and I got a little twisted in the name of the gentleman, because I was thinking about in society that people judge you for the clothes that you wear, the color of your skin, your gender, and what they believe that you should or should not fit into their city, their community, or even their society. That people suffer or receive pain from the hands of other people. The three Hebrew boys, as I will call them, they suffered a lot, and I'm sure that they felt lost. They was hopeless. I'm sure they felt empty on side, and also in being empty, it had to be a hollowness in their soul to think that they had to succumb to others who was going to dictate, manipulate, and even con and say, this is what you're going to do if you decide to stay here, God forbid. When we look at our scripture in Daniel chapter 3, verses 25, it is so beautiful that it says here that when Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, yes, unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, we're looking at verses 25, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah, amen. You know, when you think about that the fourth person showed up when the men were suffering and you know, standing before the king, I'm sure they was humiliated, embarrassed. They was chastised. They was made to feel shame. And they had to stand up in front of people to say that, look at this, their accusers. Pointing fingers at them was not pointing the fingers back at themselves, but they were judging and finding fault in these three young men. And, you know, that's how people are today. A lot of people will look at the mote in your eyes and dare not look at the mote in their eyes. You'll see people sometime that always are your critics. They like to judge you up and down, fit you into their norm. Try to qualify you if you qualify to do a job, preach in a church, sing on a choir, be in their community, live in their city, and God forbid, to be in their neighborhood. But, you know, this is such a beautiful story that in the suffering, in the pain, in the humiliation, in the disgust, that these men had a fourth person to show up, to let them know that God was there. Yes, I'm sure that they was fearful, you know, for their lives. They was nervous. They had been challenged. And as I said, they was even broken. I worked in facility where in domestic violence that there were people, especially women, that their spirits were broken. They was humiliated and embarrassed. They was told they were amount to nothing, couldn't do nothing, didn't have nothing. Somebody had measured them by their status quo and not what God said, that everything that he made is good. That they were under scrutiny of others. And it says here that the men stood their ground and they would not bow down. They kept the faith in their God, and because they loved him and they vowed to serve him, and they took that stand to obey God. Don't you know that when you stand up for your rights, when you believe that what you're doing is for your best interest, and you're living your life according to what you feel is right for you, that you always have that person, you always have that naysayer, you always have that negative one that says, oh, you can't make it, are you sure you want to do this, I wouldn't do it this way, and this is not good for you. Who are they to judge your life? God woke you up in the morning. Only God can wake you up tomorrow. They did not have the authority to say what your life would be because they did not give you birth, and they did not have eternal life. You know, you'll have people like that that believe they are tiny gods, that they think that they can rule everything, everybody, in every situation. Can you imagine that you be so persecuted where you are just calm, silent, and numb? And I won't always say calm, because I remember when I was working with the ladies in domestic violence that they were so numb from the pain that they wasn't even dealing with reality. They were somewhat like zombies, that they had been made to feel less than. It's sad when you be around folks that make you feel less than, that make you feel as though that you're not worthy because of the color of your skin, the finances in your pocket, the family that you have, your last name, the shape and size and color of your body, your eyes, everything. It's always something that is a measuring stick for those who see something in you and are intimidated by you. Yes, I say it again. People are intimidated by your greatness, because this king realized that even though he was threatening to throw these Hebrew boys into the fire, and he still heard the praise to their God, he saw their strength, their tenacity, he saw their determination, and he knew that if these people could show that they were strong, it would be rebellion to others. Sometimes people like to keep you down or put their foot on your neck so they can keep you under control. You know, the worse off that they say things to you is better for them, because it makes them feel good. You know, here in America, we call them narcissists, that you would deal with a person who makes themselves feel good by making you feel bad. But I come to tell you this evening that you are loved by God. You are his beloved. And don't you let anyone make you feel less than. As Dietrich Haddon say, that your God is able. Yes, he is. He can do anything but fail. So as you go about your week, stay encouraged, hold your head up, and feel good. Listen to songs that can motivate you. Read scriptures that can inspire you. Pray so you can gain your strength. And go all the way to know that God loves you, and he's with you always. I want to listen to a tune right now and take a break, that we're going to listen to Sinach, S-I-N-A-C-H. I could never say her name. She is one of the most phenomenal women that praises God, and I would encourage you to get her album. Let us listen to a little bit of song as we go into the inner courts, and God bless you. Thank you. Yes, the songwriter says, I worship you. When you worship God in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, you are showing God the reverence. You're showing him the trust and the faith that you know that your God is mighty, that your God loves you and he can do anything but fail. So I would encourage you, as I said before, that as you go into that inner courts, as you trust your Lord in everything, know that he is able to do anything but fail. I want to say to you that even though you may have suffered at the hands of other people, that you have hope, that you have the word, you have the promises and the reassurance that your God is there, that he is mighty. He will not let you down. I would like to just play this beautiful song that's by Nathaniel Basie as well as Chancellor Moore, that he says that our God is able. Let us praise him together. Sit back, relax, take off those shoes, you know, get that lemonade and just stretch and exhale to know that everything will be all right if you just trust God to the end. Sure, there's some ups and downs, but turn it over in your faith that God is able because he is mighty. Amen. Amen. Scripture says that our God cannot lie. If he has said it and put it in his promises, it will be done. You know, that's one thing I love about the Lord, that he's consistent. that you can depend on everything that he said from the Old Testament to the New, that it is true, it has come to pass, and the prophecies are being fulfilled. I just want to say to you to speak to others the way that you want to be spoken to. Show them the love that you have not only for yourself but for them. First of all, you got to forgive yourself, love yourself, because all of us have come short to the glory of God. No one is perfect but Jesus. This is why he died on the cross. However, we have a chance to the tree of life. We have a chance to do things better each and every day, to think about our situations better, and to feel good to know that our God is able, and he is a mighty God. I want to say to you, as you listen to us each week and as you listen to us on Sundays, just be encouraged. This is the whole purpose of this broadcast, is to give you not only information that could maybe help you in your daily walk and give you some resources, as we have heard earlier today, but also to know that God loves you. You are his beloved. If you don't know Jesus and a pardon of your sin, just tell him, say, God, here am I. I come humbly to you. My heart is open. I believe that I love the Lord. I believe that Jesus is, that he died for me. He died through his death, burial, and resurrection. I have a chance to the tree of life. Fill me with that Holy Spirit. If you have said that wholeheartedly, earnestly from your heart, that God will save your soul. God bless you again. Listen to us again tomorrow on the same radio station. And as we close out always with our favorite, which is Al Jeff Majors and Psalms 23, God bless you again. And remember, if God can't do it, then it can't be done. Amen. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Amen.